ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. टेक्स्ट 7, लेट्स चैंट. योगयुक्तो विशुद्धात्मा,
योगयुक्तो विशुद्धात्मा,
विजितात्मा जितेन्द्रियः,
विजितात्मा जितेन्द्रियः,
सर्वभूतात्मभूतात्मा,
सर्वभूतात्मभूतात्मा,
कुर्वन्नपि न लिप्यते,
कुर्वन्नपि न लिप्यते,
नैव किञ्चित् करोमीति,
नैव किञ्चित् करोमीति,
युक्तमन्येत तत्त्ववित्,
युक्तमन्येत तत्त्ववित्,
पश्यन् शृण्वन् स्पृशन् जिघ्रन्,
पश्यन् शृण्वन् स्पृशन् जिघ्रन्,
अश्नन् गच्छन् स्वपन् श्वसन्,
अश्नन् गच्छन् स्वपन् श्वसन्,
प्रलपन् विसृजन् गृह्णन्,
प्रलपन् विसृजन् गृह्णन्,
उन्मिषन् निमिषन्नपि,
उन्मिषन् निमिषन्नपि,
इन्द्रियाणीन्द्रियार्थेषु,
इन्द्रियाण्यन्द्रियार्थेषु,
वर्तन्त इति धारयन्,
वर्तन्त इति धारयन्,
ब्रह्मणि आधाय कर्माणि,
ब्रह्मणि आधाय कर्माणि,
संगम त्यक्त्वा करोति यः,
संगम त्यक्त्वा करोति,
लिप्यते न स पापेन,
लिप्यते न स पापेन,
पद्मपत्रम् मीमांसा,
पद्मपत्रम् मीमांसा.
One who works in devotion, who is a pure soul, and who controls his mind and senses is dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to me, dear to him. Though always working, such a man is never entangled. Okay. So Krishna has been trying to drive home a point that working in devotion is superior to renunciation. Number one, because the goal of renunciation is to ultimately turn our attention to devotional service. And number two, it would be premature to give up or renounce activities in this world when we have a conditioned nature. Because even if we renounce, wherever we go with our conditionings, our nature, our mind, and we'll keep doing the same thing even if we just change the situation. Just like if you have a habit of fighting with someone, right? You have a habit of getting angry. Now, and you shift your house. Will that help? As long as I live in this house, I keep getting angry, so let me shift to another country. No, you are going with your conditioning wherever you go. Or suppose you wear saffron robes, will that change your anger? No. You have to, wherever you are, the problem is not the external situation, the problem is our conditioning. That has to change. So, with whatever nature we have, instead of trying to give it up, which is very difficult, we try to engage that nature in devotional service. And that way, we don't have to renounce the activities. So Krishna says merely renouncing activities and not engaged in devotional service cannot make one happy. So we have to work even to maintain our body. So the best is one who works in devotion, who is a pure soul. That means that all his activities are for my pleasure. My pleasure is always in his mind, he is conscious, and he does not engage in unrighteous behavior. At the same time, he controls his mind and senses. So he is very dear to everyone. Because he is not acting on the platform of duality, he is not acting on the platform of selfishness. He's doing it just for the sake of duty. Now, for example, somebody who is doing his duty, suppose a security guard outside your house or outside your building, Now, whoever is staying inside the building, he just treats them equally. He's doing his duty. He's not attached to one or detached from the other. That's called duty. So we also have to live in this world that whatever responsibilities we have been given, whatever situations we have put in, we try and do it, everything as per our duty, while simultaneously fixing our consciousness on God and accepting everything that we are doing as a service to God, because God has put us in this situation, so let me do it very nicely. And at the same time, keep my mind focused on Him. So that's called working in devotion. So become more and more attentive, more and more sensitive while we are living in this world. So now we realize we don't have to just work, but work for someone's pleasure. So God wants me to do this, God wants to be moral and be responsible, so I'll do that. Have I shared that example with you? How we should live in this world? Like a housewife who has a paramour, another lover. Have I shared this example? So how we have to live in this world? This example is given by the Lord Himself in the scripture called Chaitanya Charitamrita, where one of His devotees, he was trying to run away and he wanted to join Him, renounce everything, and he belonged to a royal family. He had such wealth, married to one of the most beautiful girls of the time, and Aartiji is scared that we might just pass on COVID to her.
Guruji, I am so sorry, some delivery person has come, so I just went.
So, I thought you were scared of us.
No, it's just going to enter, Guruji, so I'll be here, but I just have to...
So, the Lord has been receiving letters from Him that He wants to give up everything and join Him in service. Then the Lord writes back. He said, don't be a Markat Vairagi. What is a Markat Vairagi? Markat means, you know what is Markat, Piaji? You don't know?
No.
Half of your life is a waste. Aartiji, do you know? What does a Markat mean?
No idea. What is it?
Yours also. Markat means monkey. Okay. So he says, don't be like a Markat Vairagi. Don't be practicing renunciation like a monkey. Now, monkey seems to be very renounced. Lives under a tree, on the tree, in a forest. Eats some root and fruit. And so renounced that doesn't even wear any clothes. But what is the monkey doing? Disturbing everybody and restless, jumping from one thing to the other, because it has that restless nature. So the Lord is saying, don't try to act premature. Instead, live in this world. And how do I live in this world? The Lord said, like a housewife who has got another lover, a paramour, a lady, a married lady who has a paramour. How do we understand this? The Lord only explained. He said, if a married lady has another lover, then she does all her household duties more attentively, extra attentively, so that nobody suspects and nobody finds out. So she's extra attentive to her duties at home. But while she is engaged in performing her duties, internally, she is only thinking of her lover. Oh, when will I meet him? She is only remembering her lover. So the Lord said, that's how we have to live in this world. Externally, whatever duties we have, we perform them very attentively, nicely. And internally, our minds, our hearts, dedicated to the Lord, we are remembering Him. And how is it able to remember? How we are able to remember Him is that we know all these duties we have been given by the Lord's arrangement only. So the whole process is to remember. So externally doing our duties well, internally keeping our consciousness fixed on Him. And if we are chanting and hearing regularly, it will become easier for us to remember Him while we are engaged in our worldly duties. So that's why that a discipline of spiritual activities in our life is a must. Subha subha agar aapne, if you begin your day on a divine note and trying to fix your consciousness on the Lord, then throughout the day you will be able to remember Him. And at certain point, as more and more purification of the heart happens, a point will come where the spontaneous remembrance will become a part of your life. You will not have to make an effort. Because the more the heart gets purified through the process of hearing and chanting, the more we are able to remember the Lord. Because remembrance is an expression of love. So love and devotion for God, for Krishna, is there in everyone's heart. It's not that you will gain it from some outside source. It's there, you just have to reawaken it. It is lying in a dormant state. And how does it reawaken? Through the process of hearing and chanting. Simple. You keep hearing from the Gita, Bhagavat regularly from the authorized sources and keep chanting his names, the Maha Mantra, and gradually the love will awaken because the heart gets purified. And remembrance is an expression of love. That love is reawakened, so remembrance becomes spontaneous. Just like that, you will not have to make an effort to remember the Lord. For example, like a mother, like you all are mothers. So, do you think you have to make an endeavor to remember your children or somebody whom you love? Even if you're in the midst of the biggest social function and surrounded by thousands of people, still you might just take your mobile out and call up your maid, oh, make sure he eats, make sure she sleeps on time, is she back home? So it's not that you spontaneously are making an effort to remember your children. It happens naturally, spontaneously. So it becomes easier to work in this world in devotion when that love is reawakened. And so this becomes more practical then. But in the beginning, we have to force our minds to think of the Lord, to think of Krishna. And after some time, it becomes spontaneous. But initially, we have to make an effort. For example, suppose you go for a workout. The first day you hit the gym, is it easy? If you are lifting weights or doing yoga, bending, stretching, no. But as you keep on doing it, it becomes normal. And after some days, you are able to do it on your own. So anything, we begin where we have to force ourselves to do it. And after some time, as we get used to it, then it becomes natural. It is spontaneous. So the heart becomes purified. Who is a pure soul? He is free from the platform of duality and who controls his mind and senses. And therefore we also have the right intellect to discriminate between what is right and wrong. We know how to deal with the mind, senses. We don't indulge them unnecessarily. See, it is very simple. All our issues will get resolved once we have a strong spiritual connection. Mind and senses, they will stop bothering us completely. If we can understand this one point, our whole life will change. And everyone is dear to him, he is dear to everyone. Why? Because he is a pure soul. For him, nobody is an enemy. Like Yudhishthir Maharaj, he is known as Ajatashatru. Ajatashatru means he had no enemy. But we see Duryodhana was an enemy. Isn't it? Now what is meant by Ajatashatru? Ajatashatru means he did not see anyone as his enemy. Because he was a pure soul. Duryodhana might consider him because we see the world as we are, not as they are. We see others as we are, not as they are. So Duryodhana saw him as an enemy. Yudhishthira Maharaj never considered Duryodhana as his enemy. For him, nobody is an enemy. So because he's a pure soul. So unless we raise ourselves to a spiritual platform, these dualities will continue to exist in this world, in our life, and will keep getting entangled in these. Honor, dishonor. Praise, criticism. Happiness, distress. Profit, loss. Our life will be like a pendulum. So, we have to, and A life of duality means material platform. It's a platform of duality. Spiritual platform is freedom from duality. And we can only raise ourselves to a spiritual platform where we start seeing everyone equally with a pure heart by incorporating certain spiritual practices, of which hearing and chanting are the supreme. And when we work in this consciousness, that means we are not attached to either good, bad, honor, dishonor, enemy, friend. And such a person is never entangled. Because if we get affected by good or bad, that creates further reaction. Good and bad, both are binding. But a person who is detached, he is not affected by whatever good comes into his life or whatever bad situation. He is just continuing to do his duty. He is not entangled. He just continues moving towards the destination. A person in the divine consciousness, although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving about, sleeping and breathing, always knows within himself that he actually does nothing at all. Because he knows he's a spirit soul. Only the body and senses are engaged. And these are engaged according to the nature they have acquired. So he remains, he does his duties externally very nicely, but internally he has that attachment to the higher power. Because while speaking, evacuating, receiving or opening or closing his eyes, he always knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and that he is aloof from them. Because he understands he is a spirit soul. I am the soul. I am not the body. The body is engaged in work. The soul is totally different from the body. Soul is the witness. The soul is seeing the body growing from childhood to youth to old age and dying. And then the soul moves into another body. Soul watches everything. But the soul is not doing this. The body and the senses are engaged. But so the soul, when it is encaged within the body, its independence to a certain extent is gone. But one type of independence the soul has is to desire always. At least some free will is there. The desire to kari sakte hai na, just like a prisoner inside the jail, he's not independent, but some independence is there. He can choose to rectify his wrong behavior. So the choice is never taken away from the human beings. But learning to make the right choices happens when we take shelter of a bona fide guru who can guide us based on scriptures, because they are the books on which our life is judged eventually, law books. So, spiritual life means learning to make the right choices. And those right choices are not based on the popular opinion, are not based on what we feel and think is right, they are based on scriptures. This one principle must be internalized. So, a person who is in divine consciousness, he understands this, that he is a spiritual being and he has nothing to do with matter, material body, material senses. And he's just witnessing how the body and senses are engaged. But internally, he remains detached. Because ultimately, depending on the kind of consciousness we have as the soul, that's the kind of next destination body we are going to get. So the soul doesn't entangle itself. Internally, there is that complete detachment. But externally, doing our duties well. Doing the needful, whatever is required. But internally, cultivating attachment to Krishna. And externally appearing as if we are attached to the world. That means doing our duties wholeheartedly, but keeping our heart and mind focused on Him. And the more we get purified, the more it becomes easy. And the way to purify is regular hearing and chanting. This transcendental sound vibration, where it enters our ears, goes to the heart and purifies it. This is the crux. One who performs his duty without attachment, surrendering the results unto the Supreme Lord, is unaffected by sinful action as the lotus leaf is untouched by water. Same point. It's like we have to live in this world. We have to be in this world but not of this world. There's a point. We have to be in this world but not of this world, like a lotus leaf. It is surrounded by water from all sides, but not even a single drop of water can stay on a lotus leaf. And that can happen if we are attached to Krishna. simultaneously while performing our worldly duties, then we can live like a lotus leaf. That means we will not be affected by the environment of this world. We will be in this world but not of this world. Kayena manasa buddhya kevalair indriyairapi yoginah karma kurvanti sangam tyaktvatma shuddhaye. The yogis, abandoning attachment, act with mind, act with body, mind, intelligence, and even with the senses only for the purpose of purification. The yogis doesn't mean those who do yoga. Everybody has to be a yogi. In the section where Krishna is talking about yoga, dhyana yoga, Krishna is saying, in all situations, be a yogi, Arjuna. Be a yogi. What is the meaning of the word yoga? What does it mean?
Union.
So a person should always be a yogi means you should always be in union with the divine. You should always remain connected. You should always remain linked, connected. Yoga means yujya. Yujya se aata hai yoga. To mean to link, to connect, to join. So in all situations, with our body, mind and words, we should be connected with the Lord. Nowhere the path of disconnection is recommended. And Gita is that one book which teaches us the art of reconnecting ourselves through our karma, dhyana, jnana and ultimately bhakti. So a true yogi, he is not attached. His body, mind, intelligence, everything with the senses only acting for the purpose of purification. For the purpose of purification of the heart from lust, envy, anger, greed, pride, illusion. Imagine somebody has 104 degrees of temperature. So what should he do? Should he do something to increase his temperature or decrease his temperature? What should he do?
Decrease.
Yeah. So imagine somebody has 104 and he does something which increases his temperature. That is foolishness. There was a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law living in a house. So both fell sick at the same time. The daughter-in-law had 103 degrees. The mother-in-law had 100 degrees. The mother-in-law had an inferiority complex. She almost went into depression. Why? She was saying, what is this? She was so frustrated. I am the head of the house. I am the mother-in-law. But how is it that my daughter-in-law has more than me, more temperature? She has 103 and I have only 100. So that is foolishness. So if we have temperature, we should try and reduce it, do something. So the only purpose of human life is purification. Because only in human life we have the ability to purify our existence. In other life forms, when the soul gets into any other type of bodies, it has no independence, no free will, and it can simply live its karma. It cannot rectify the karma. But only in human life do we have the ability to purify our entire existence. Purify ourselves from the entanglement, a bondage of karma. So we should act with our mind, body, senses and words in a way that we become disentangled, not further entangled. So we should be mindful of what we eat, what we enjoy, how we enjoy, what we speak, what we do. Making sure we should be introspecting, contemplating whether our thoughts, words and actions, are they increasing the fever or are they decreasing the fever? Should be introspecting regularly. So become more and more conscious of our words, actions, thoughts. Otherwise, with every thought, word and action, we could be increasing our temperature. And this is a story, funny story, the mother and the daughter-in-law. But we have all been a part of it, isn't it? Oh, my neighbor has 103. Why don't I have 104, 105? Or my friend has it. All the people living in society, they come across this every now and then. So material life means fever. because that causes further bondage and future suffering. Oh, why does she have this much suffering? Why can't I have more suffering? When we desire, na, oh, somebody has this much material opulence, such much, so much material happiness. It's like asking, why can't I have so much fever? Because eventually it is going to lead to distress. So human life is given to us to get purified of material desires, to get purified of material anxieties and worries and material existence, and purify our heart of lust, envy, anger, greed, pride, illusion, not to get further entangled, not to increase the fever of anger, greed, pride, and envy and illusion. And therefore, we should be conscious and doing, acting in a way that our fever is reduced, not increased. We become very conscious of your activities with our mind, body, senses, intelligence. And what happens when we do this? Yuktah karma phalam tyaktva shantim apnoti naishtikim ayuktah kama karena phale sakto nibadhyate. The steadily devoted soul attains unadulterated peace because he offers the result of all activities to me, Krishna arpanam. He tries his best and then ultimately the results, whatever the Lord desires. Then one is not attached because the only thing within my control is my effort, and I did my best. Now the result is for offered to Krishna, whatever he desires. Whereas a person who is not in union with the divine, who is greedy for the results of his labor, one who wants attached to the results, becomes entangled. Very simple. If you live in a way that every act of mine is an offering to the Lord, that means I do my best keeping my consciousness fixed on him, but I don't get entangled or affected by the result. That leads to liberation from bondage. Anybody who thinks, ah, mujhe chahiye, I want this result and I want that, that leads to entanglement. So we have to decide. Focus on things within your control and don't worry. Leave the rest to the Lord and do everything as a duty towards him, because he is the one who has given us the situation, the position we are in right now. We must do our duties rightly. At the same time, regularly take time out to fix our consciousness on him initially. That's called sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means doing it even if we don't feel like doing it. And then gradually the mind and body gets used to it. That leads to spontaneous bhakti then. But initially we have to have some spiritual discipline, take time out every day and focus on our spiritual practices so that a point come where we don't have to force ourselves, where everything becomes natural to us and we can live like a lotus leaf. And that's only possible by remembrance of Krishna. Then we can remain untouched by the contamination around us. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I'll stop here. Any questions?